Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. My name is David and today I'm joined, of course, by Ali Hangarov, the former winner, or well, actually, sorry, reigning champion of FPL, not a former winner yet, the reigning champion of FPL, won it last year in spectacular fashion. You guys are very used to seeing him on a Sunday night. You're, of course, also very used to seeing one Gianni Buttice, who is AWOL at the moment. I mean, I'm joking, we do know where he is, but unfortunately, due to some unforeseen circumstances, he's not available, so you're going to have to make do with myself. And I do think it's going to be an evening episode, if you're watching us on YouTube live, where you probably just want to have a sit down and have a chat with someone, because it has been yet another rotten game week, hasn't it, Ali? How have you been getting on?
I've been getting on just fine, apart from FPL game week. So it's a great weekend, Sunday, nothing to complain about. Apart from my rank again. So all good, but still, you know, keeping the positivity and trying to survive and make sure our next decisions are not just the way where it's been going for, you know, a couple of weeks now. So keeping it positive.
Yeah, it's a good attitude to have, and I think that's going to be very helpful for the people that in the chat so far, because there's some horror stories in there. I mean, there's some okay ones. So Daniel, Sokan, Luke, ABC, how you doing, guys? Nice to have you in the chat. Thank you for letting us know how your game week's gone so far. So Daniel, up to 10k overall, with Morris and Kabore still to go. I mean, actually, that's pretty good. So good work there, Daniel. Fingers crossed for you there. Sokan, 56, still fighting tooth and nails. Two to go. I wondered when I first read that if he was talking about he actually had toothache as well, which sometimes FPL can feel like toothache, and it probably does feel like toothache for Luke, who got he's on 27 points so far, which is not great. And he has now activated his wild card. Don't blame you at all if you're getting a score like that. A wild card went in last week for ABC 789, 72 points so far on that wild card. Kabore to go. Keep wild carding, people. I love to see the price rises. Love that. But yes, as I said, we've got some other worse stories here. Luke actually just confirming that his 27 points has taken him from 450k to 1 million. Oh, well, you're in the right place, Luke. We're going to try and make you feel a little bit better about your team. As Ali says, sometimes when you get these rubbish game weeks, you need a little bit of external influence to keep you calm, making those decisions with a cool head instead of a rash one. Rahul, 600k to 2 million. Oh, horrible. Only 24 points, but Sterling and Kabore still to play. I mean, hopefully you can claw some of that back with those little differentials there. But yeah, Greg, 33 points. We got Obi-Wan Kenobi dropping 1.2 million places. Oh, well, oh wow. We got Temi Dio, took a minus 12. And it ended on 91, so it worked out. Either way, it's a chaotic game week. There's lots going on. And this is a good opportunity, isn't it, Ali, just to sort of keep check of our emotions, right?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. It's whatever happens, you know, whatever happened in the past, we still have to look forward and, again, make sure our decisions going forward are better than been before. So it's a lot going on for, I've seen, you know, just like last game week, I've seen scores like 90s, 100s, and a lot of managers just ended up even below average. Me, myself, again, below average, and I'm trying to keep positive, you know, just to be, you know, composed. And but it's hard at the moment. It's hard. After last season's crazy journey, I'm trying to deal with it in the right way. So.
Yeah, no, definitely a good idea. We're going to have a look at your team and how it's got on so far in Game Week 7 in just a moment. But before we do, as ever, we always have a bit of housekeeping here on Fantasy Football Scout. First things first, of course, is that you can still save up to 30% on those preseason prices for membership. If you're a regular watcher of FPL Winners, or if you regularly listen on the podcast platform, you will, of course, know that a lot of the in-game stuff that we are able to show you does come from that members area. So if you want access to sort of play around with that in your own time, the membership is the way to go. And we also have a message from our sponsor as well. Today's video is sponsored by Betway, the principal betting partners of West Ham and the betting partner of Brighton. On Friday, they announced the heroes for the weekend. Bet £10 on player markets, top scorer of the heroes, and they will credit a £1 free bet for every point up to £20. Betway also run giveaways, including shirts and tickets for West Ham and Brighton. We know not everybody gambles, which is something we take very seriously. That's why on our website, we have a filter you can turn on so you can opt out of the gambling ads. And for those of you who do enjoy it, do so responsibly and safely. There's more info about Betway in the description. You have to be 18 and over, and of course we encourage everybody to gamble responsibly and to be gambleaware.org. When the fun stops, stop. Which does in many respects sound like a little bit of an FPL adage as well at the moment, especially in a week, Ali, where it's not gone very well for you, as I said, like most of the people. So there is some solace to take in the fact that we're kind of all in the same boat in many respects. But yeah, do you want to talk us through how your game week's got on so far? And for the benefit of the podcast listeners, perhaps just sort of list through who's currently in your team.
So I'll list through my players in my 11. So Pickford in goal, Saliba, Shar, Stupinian, Rashford, Foden, Madison, and Saka in the midfield. Wilson up top, Haaland as a captain, and DCL, Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Two of my transfers with a hit were Big Dom, and I brought Shar in. Shar Cher. I'm trying not to butcher his name, but
I believe it's pronounced Fabian Cher. It's like the singer.
Fabian Cher. Okay, so these were my two transfers. I got rid of Chilwell and a bench fodder Mbama. So basically, it was a positive transfer. So I got 7 points from Cher and 6 points from Calvert. It was okay-ish, but I really expected more from my midfield, to be honest. I was really maybe 5 minutes away from wildcarding before I fell asleep tinkering. So on a Friday night, it was unfortunate. So I woke up and I realized that my team value is just gone down, and there wasn't really a great cause to wildcard, because my team on paper looked okay, and I expected a lot more from the City, and as well as Manchester United. I was betting on Rashford and Foden to do well at this game week, but Wilson as well. He was flagged, but I still thought that he would probably feature, but that wasn't the case. So ironically, I ended up putting Eze last on my bench, and I'll be having Udogie, filling in Wilson's blank. So it's an unfortunate game week. I'm down to 3 million and 37th with a minus 4. So it's not looking good at the moment, but I'm trying to build a wild card that with my team value isn't great, and I've been talking about team value in a way that it's not really important. As long as you bring in good players and you're happy with your team, there's always cheaper alternatives. But I'm not sure how it's affecting my team at the moment, because price rises and falls are just brutal. Have been brutal this couple of game weeks, and I've been losing value on players that I didn't really think I would be losing, because Eze just dropped down 0.3 in a matter of a week for some reason. He still delivered an assist. And my team overall, I mean, Saka was questionable again, as well as Saliba. Those were the players that delivered. I didn't really expect Brighton battering that bad. I mean, it feels like every season they have a couple of games that they're off. Just like it happened last season with, I think they've lost to Everton 5-1 or something like that. It was something was just off. And the same happened against Aston Villa. So Aston Villa, like the early kickoff, I believe they've last year against Newcastle as well. It was an early kickoff and Watkins delivered a brace and an assist. So it's a lot of similarities and tendencies with some of the teams that keep happening every season. And sometimes for making a decision, you still have those moments in mind. And I think this game week was really unfortunate in terms of Brighton assets. Watkins owners, kudos to them, because they've still kept their faith and kept him in the team. Maybe some managers just wildcarded him in ahead of the good fixtures. So kudos to them. 23 points, not in my team, but still looking positive.
Yeah, I'm very pleased to see Watkins doing well. I've not owned him all season because I've had Diaby instead. But we've had a lot of questions on a lot of the streams about what to do with him. And I know he's been doing well on the tables, for example, in goals imminent, and some of the tables I've been looking at as well. His underlying statistics have been really good all season. And while it is a big haul, and we're going to talk about some XG and under and over performance a little bit later in the show, and he obviously features in that, it's a bigger haul than I was expecting, but I'm not surprised to see him get a big haul. This has been coming. And so then those who've held onto him and had a bit of faith, you know, that wasn't naivety in any way. I think those who held onto Watkins, that was a skill moment in FPL, because the skill sometimes comes in holding onto players who haven't necessarily been getting the points, but have been getting the underlying numbers. And so, yeah, I agree. Massive congratulations to Watkins owners. You do definitely deserve it, especially in a world where Alvarez has, of course, been turning heads. Things like that. Yeah. I'm just going to come back to your team a little bit to ask you, I guess, about United. My guess here is that you put Eze so far down the bench because you were fairly confident that it was going to be an important win for your Man United after the win against Burnley. And it really just did not go the way I think anyone expected in this one. And you still got Rashford. So with Eze and Rashford, I mean, with those two players in particular, what are your plans moving forward? And I guess I'm kind of asking here, what's your bus team for game week 8? I guess. I mean, I know you've talked about your wild card as well. But do those players feature, etc.?
Eze was supposed to be first on my bench, but I've realized that I've put him the third right when the deadline hit. So I was like, no way. I tried to change him to Doggy, but I thought I managed. It was just like on a deadline. And when the game updated, I was like, nah, it didn't really happen. So I knew the points were coming. So Wilson, unfortunately, didn't feature. With the United game, I was fairly confident that they have to bounce back after, you know, fairly okay result away from home. But it's still not happening for them, and it's a worrying sign for overall Manchester United fans and their asset owners, because Brentford is not going to be an easy fixture. So I expect a lot of goals in that fixture. And looking at United midfield, Rashford and Bruno, I still think that we... For those, I'm trying to hold on to my wild card until game week 9, maybe, because there's international break in between 8 and 9, and I really think that wild carding this game week could backfire. But I'm still uncertain if I have a couple of, you know, main players injured and maybe ruled out for the next game week. I think I'll pull the trigger, But the price rises are killing me at the moment, and I'm not really sure how to. I'm still trying to keep my calm with it and not to rush transfers, but they're absolutely brutal.
Yeah, big time. And yeah, certainly on the Man United players, there is have been questions in the chat already. So hopefully those of you who are asking about whether or not you're selling Rashford and Bruno, hopefully that was a useful indicator of what you should do with those players. I'm going to stick my team up on the screen now as well, just to sort of, give some examples of some bad decisions, but also some jammy luck. So I'm really sorry here, Ali. This may sting because my bench positioning this week has worked out very, very nicely. So I do apologise in advance. So Flecken and Mbeumo combined for just 4 points for me today, which I was disappointed by. -2 for Estupiñán. Botman didn't play. I did a stream on Saturday, did the deadline stream, and I was torn. I was in two minds. It was either sell Chilwell to get Burn, or just roll the transfer. And I honestly wasn't sure. I had like 10 minutes to go, and I put my faith in chat. I said I did a poll, and they voted. In the end, it was close to begin with, and then unanimously by the end, largely it was just roll the transfer. I owe them a great debt. I owe them a very great debt because Botman not playing means that Joachim Anderson, who was my second on my bench behind Cameron Archer, who obviously can't come in for Sven Botman, I'm getting 15 points when the subs auto do. And this is the first time all season I've got any Anderson points. I've owned him since game week one. In fact, I've owned him since like 2 weeks into preseason because I was just very interested in the Palace defence, and I had him benched every other time he got something. Every time I've started him so far is when Palace concede and he doesn't do something. He finally gets himself a double digit haul when I didn't even start him and he's going to come in. So I do feel really, really jammy because I've also seen that Feynor in the chat also benched Anderson but didn't put, but it's, don't worry, he came in for me. So I feel very, very jammy. My overall team, it did okay. I dropped down to 854k pre-subs, but I'll go up to about 365k but that right there shows you how easy it is to go from a bad week to a good week very quickly, in the sense that with the just 15 points auto sub for someone who's, to be fair, not that widely owned, is going to jump me up like 500k places. It's just nuts. So yeah, I'm sort of taking some solace there that you've only got to have a couple of players pop off, and then you're going to start climbing the ranks for sure. But yeah, just to complete the list of my players. So Cash, once again, getting something. And Mbeumo, Madison, both on 2. Diaby got me 6. Was it 8? It's 8 points. So I didn't have Watkins, but I still had some Villa contingent, which I was quite happy with. Just 1 point for Salah. I didn't sell Saka with the, you know, those pictures of him arriving at Bournemouth. That was enough for me to keep him. And then Alvarez and Haaland up front. Chilwell still on my bench, but he's an easy sell for next week. I've got 2 free transfers, which is a useful place to be. It's probably going to be Chilwell to Trippier and try and find like 1.2 million somewhere else. I don't know where that's going to be yet. I'm not sure. I'm like you, though. I really want to hold off on that wild card. I do really want to, just hold it until it's going to be more effective, because I think that we can, I think I can lean into some of these fixture swings quite easily, to be honest. Like, yeah, I don't know. I know you've already sort of touched upon it, but in an ideal world, do you feel like the latest you use the wild card, the better? Because am I right in thinking that you did actually use your wild card very, very late last season and, of course, pay dividends because you won the whole thing?
Last season was a little bit different because of the World Cup in between, and we knew we'll have unlimited transfers before game week 17. So it was different. I could afford using it later because I knew that it was still like we have other options. But this season is a little bit different. I like to use it late, but it depends on your team. If you're struggling with your game weeks and you struggle with your rank, and I think there's no point of delaying it. And once, it's not necessarily that it's not 100% that wildcard is going to save your season, but you have to pick the timing carefully as well, because looking at your team, to be honest, I don't think it needs a wildcard.
Oh, yeah.
There's 2 transfers as well. It doesn't need it. Anderson, 15-pointer, I think it's a lot. It's far away from luck, trust me. You pick the player for the same reasons that he's a good attacking threat. I mean, from Palace defense, because he's always scoring points, he's always assisting, scoring. I'm not sure what the stats are for him last season, but Anderson has always been attacking. And it happened to me last season with Tyron Mings, I believe. He would always come off the bench and bring me points. And that's what having a good, solid defensive asset on your bench, ready to come on for someone who doesn't feature. So it's not luck. It's a lot of skill involved, and having the right bench, a great bench in your team, is quite beneficial for you. And looking at your team, you're well set up for next 3 or 4 game weeks with Diaby. With I think you have 2 free transfers, and maybe some of the questionable assets in your team are Chilwell, and Botman is injured. So we're not sure for how long, but he's easily benchable. So Palace have a good fixture against Forest at home, maybe a potential clean sheet for Anderson. Estupiñán, I think if you're right off the storm for a couple of game weeks, he's still Brighton fixtures turn really well. So it's not a wild card necessary team, because you have Salah in your team, you have Haaland, you have Newcastle defense covered, you have Cash, you have Diaby, you have Madison. Maybe you're missing Son at the moment, but he will be highly owned ahead of the Luton fixture, and you might want to think about bringing in Son and fitting in somehow in your team. Maybe the rest of your team looks absolutely brilliant. I mean, Archer, I mean, Torn, you're set, man. You don't need to wildcard anytime soon.
No, thanks, man. That means a lot. It's helpful knowing that, because the swing is arriving. It's coming soon, and I had initially planned to use it around that swing. So it's nice to be able to hold it off. I still would love to use it around that blank game week for City, you know, to sort of really get the most out of that, so I don't have to use a free hit or something like that. So, yeah, if I could just get through these next couple of weeks. I know what you mean. I'm a bit nervous about Son. I think he's a big captain candidate for the upcoming game week. So I think there's going to be lots of questions about him. Before we go any further, we have had a super chat. So, of course, we are obliged, of course, to provide an answer. But the thing is, I think this is a really good question for everybody, really. And I'm actually going to combine it with a question from Lars. So we'll start with Noobmaster with his question. $4.99 chat. Thanks very much, Noobmaster. Thinking at the start of the season, Rashford and Bruno would bring in big numbers this season. Of course, they haven't done. And he says, who do you recommend to replace these players? And I'm also going to just stick Lars's question in as well. Would love to hear your opinions on Mbeumo going forward, because all of a sudden there's a number of people with midfield openings in their teams. Anthony Gordon has been a good option to look at, but of course he has now picked up that 5th yellow card, so he's suspended. That takes him out of the equation. And so, I mean, well, there'll be Gordon owners probably looking for a replacement as well. So let's start with the United guys in their price point. Best replacements for them, but I think, we need to talk about Mbeumo, don't we, after today and a few blanks in a row, and highly owned player. We've all earned a lot of profit on him if we've had him. Is now the time to move him on?
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI. It's possible, because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I would find it really hard to sell Rashford or Bruno. If you have two, probably one of them is a comfortable sell. But if you have one, I'm on Rashford at the moment, and I'm really finding it hard because I can't see United being in bad form for long, because they will bounce back, whether it's this game week or maybe against Sheffield United. I think there are, it's still, once they click, it's a high ceiling for goal scorers for them. So the goals would usually come from Rashford, Bruno, or maybe Hoyland would hit the form. And I think if you're thinking to replace them, there's two questions. There are two aspects to it. If you're trying to generate cash in order to fund Salah, I think there are some budget enablers such as Pedro Neto. I think that guy, that would be an overstatement if I say this, but he's fixture proof. He can deliver against any team, no matter what he does. I like his technical abilities and the way how he performs against big teams as well. Against Liverpool, he delivered. Against City, he delivered an assist, I believe, for an own goal. And for that price point, there are not many options. With Gordon and Neto, I think he's definitely nailed. He's on some set pieces, maybe on penalties as well. We haven't had a penalty from Wolves yet, but he's their main guy, and I think he's a great pick if you need to fund Salah. For the rest of you, for the rest of the assets in the same price bracket, I think Arsenal assets like Odegaard. Odegaard will be really, really popular because he's taking penalties from time to time, and he's always amongst the goal involvements. Arsenal doesn't look like they will be having, you know, hard time. I think they still have room to improve, and a lot of people just getting rid of their assets because of the bad fixtures, but I think they will be delivering points. Szoboszlai from Liverpool for 7 million. He's on some set pieces. He's been scoring goals for fun, and having a nailed Liverpool midfielder who's fairly attacking. If you compare McAllister and him, I think Szoboszlai is really good. Richarlison from Spurs, ahead of good fixtures. I think Johnson is injured at the moment, and he has a good chance of featuring in a starting 11. So he will be in and around points as well, I believe. So there's a lot of options in the midfield if you're looking for Bruno or Rashford replacements. Mm-hmm. Even Ansu Fati, I think, classified as a midfielder in a game. So once Brighton's fixtures come good again, I think Ansu Fati will be really popular. So there's a lot of options. It's just team dependent again. If you just have to look for a good combination of fixtures and good form. And I think Pedro Neto has been really going under the radar.
Hmm. Yeah, he sort of... he was a widely talked about pick last season. Lots of people started with him, and then he really underwhelmed. And I think it stung people into being sort of colorblind to Neto. He's kind of, I think, I want you here at Forest as well, for sort of less, to lesser of an extent, because he wasn't like widely owned. But it's almost like people just kind of, we targeted Forest when they were rubbish. So we just kind of assume, oh, well, we don't need to bother with Forest. But, you know, they're two players that are still racking up points, so we should be looking into them. And, yeah, Wolves, their fixtures are coming good. While you were talking, I put the season ticker up on the screen, so those who are watching on YouTube can obviously see that over the next six matches, if you sort by overall difficulties, that's not strictly the attacking difficulty, which you can filter as well with your own membership. But, yeah, even just for overall difficulty, they rank fourth highest Villa, Bournemouth, Newcastle, Sheffield United, Spurs and Fulham are their next six. And of course, the Bournemouth game, the Sheffield United game, the Fulham game look especially tasty. And I suppose if you were a bit nervous about the Spurs, Newcastle and Villa games, if you're nervous about those three, you'd maybe sign Neto perhaps for game week 9. But with the Newcastle and Spurs games, because of his price, possibly benchable in a world where we get a lot of questions every week where people put up, do I bench this guy or this guy? And I'm like, how do you have room to bench these guys? Because I think a lot of people are favouring having 8 attacking players and deliberately giving themselves a benching headache. But with Neto, you maybe have less of one. But as you said there, I mean, he's obviously got attacking returns even against City. So he's definitely one to consider. You mentioned Spurs' fixtures were good. They are top of the season ticker for the next six. So it's Luton, Fulham, Palace, Chelsea, Wolves, Aston Villa for them. I suppose, you know, you've got Eze. Palace's fixtures look good over the next six as well. Forest, Newcastle, Spurs, Burnley, Everton and Luton, their third highest on the season ticker. So, yeah, lots of good options there. I was also just looking at some numbers, sort of running a few comparisons in the members area for some stats over the last four. And Son is, look, we already talked about, he looks very, very scary for next week. If you don't have Son and you do have a United player and maybe just a little bit of extra cash because Rashford's 8-8, Bruno's 8-4 and Son is 9-3. Son right now, last four matches, Son is top of the league for shots in, for shots on target, I should say. He's joint top with Haaland and Madison. And then for big chances, he's had 6, so only 2 players have had more than him. But if you just sort of compare that with Rashford and Bruno, the difference is quite stark. So, for example, big chances, it's 6. For Son over the last four matches, just the 1 for Rashford, none for Bruno, and then Bruno and Rashford combined for fewer shots on target, I should say, than Son. So they combined for 8 shots on target. Son's had 9, so he's better than both of them put together. So he's looking in really good form compared to some of those options in that bracket we were talking about. But Ansu Fati, wow, I hadn't realised just how busy he's been in a short space of time. In the last four matches, just 124 minutes played, but he's had 7 shots in the box, 3 big chances, 3 on target, an XGI of 1.9 in just 124 minutes. I mean, that's some tasty stuff there. 12.5% goal conversion, 0.5% ownership. He's going to go under the radar because people are probably more focused on a Mitoma or something like that. So Brighton's fixtures at the moment are... just find them on the ticker. They're tricky over the next two, and it's Liverpool and City. But then when it gets to game week 10, they shoot right back up the season ticker. Fulham, Everton, Sheffield United, Nottingham Forest. Oh, the Brighton players are really going to light things up. So, yeah, some timing things in there as well. You know, if you're going to be selling your United players, maybe Brentford and Sheffield United next two, give them another go. It's a bit annoying. Every week I feel like we all say this, don't we? Give them another go. And then we get more of these questions like, oh, it still didn't work. What do I do? So certainly some options in there. So we've got probably about time for sort of 7 or 8 minutes left to go. And we do, of course, like to talk about how things have gone this weekend. And so I'm just going to stick the results up on the screen and sort of go through some of the key underlying numbers that have underpinned some of these games. So I'll just obviously just sort of remind people of some of these scores. So Aston Villa 6, Brighton 1, Bournemouth 0, Arsenal 4, Everton 1, Luton 2, Man United 0, Crystal Palace 1, Newcastle 2, Burnley 0, West Ham 2, Sheffield United 0, Wolves 2, Man City 1, Spurs 2, Liverpool 1, although probably going to be an asterisk next to that fixture for the rest of history. Nottingham Forest 1, Brentford 1 are the results we've had so far. Quite a lot of surprise results in there. And what that's mean for... Well, I'm going to put the XG stuff on the screen. It's actually the XG that can perhaps tell us more stories about this game than some of these scores, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, looking at the XG underachievers and overachievers, you could we do it every game week, every Sunday, and sometimes there are players that on the same list, and you could see a pattern of it happening and whether their good form is sustainable or not. So Almiron is back, and are we looking at the over or?
Yeah, we've got the overachievers up first. Yeah.
So Almiron is back at his favorite position because he's been scoring a lot from low XG positions just like last year. And his goal was an absolute screamer from 20 or 30 yards and top bins. I think we've seen it last season. And is second after Watkins. Watkins, despite of scoring three goals, I think some of those points, FPL points, were really lucky because the own goal for his assist or deflection, it's a bit, you know, harsh to say it's lucky. It's still a good, great hat trick. It was a great performance from him, but you could see that his XG is just—it's not even one. So his first goal, I think, was a low corner, and the shot was really going down low and with low speed. It's hard when you look at the numbers. You could see that. You know, the three goals out of 0.8 XG is just unbelievable, and I'm really not sure whether he's still a good option ahead of good fixtures. But you never know with Watkins. Sometimes he's just explosive enough to go off and deliver you a double-digit haul. So Jacob Ramsey, it's again, he's always scoring screamers outside the box, and just like this game week, it says a lot. I mean, what is it? 0.07 XG.
0.07, yeah. So 0.93 of a delta, huge.
Yeah, it's huge, absolutely huge. And Ben White as well. It was a good header. I mean, but still really hard to score. We don't see a lot of goals from Ben White. He's fairly attacking, but if it's a header from a set piece, we would expect maybe Gabriel or Saliba be at the end of it. But Ben White has managed to score this game week. Alvarez scored from a free kick. I mean, it's been coming because he would take some of the straight free kicks for the City, and he was close a couple of times, but every time I don't own him and he's on the free kick, and I feel like he would score because he's got a good right foot on that.
Well, we've got some comment on it in the chat, actually, from Peppermint Freedom, who says, Alvarez is looking like Man City's clutch player now. Because I think what's really a cool way of obviously sort of contextualizing XG is when players have the ability to overperform against it consistently. And Watkins, to be honest, is kind of an either-or. I mean, we're going to have a look at underachievers in a minute, and we have seen him on the underachievers a lot. He's someone who tends to even out quite well. And so he will underachieve some weeks, overachieve the next, and it largely levels out throughout the course of the season. Now, we haven't seen... this is Alvarez's first proper season really being a regular starter in the City side. So it's hard to say where it's going to go from here, but we've seen a lot of Man City players over the years very good at consistently overperforming against XG because that's simply what the best players in the world do. They take very difficult to score opportunities or very difficult to assist opportunities and they turn them into the real deal. And it kind of looks like, once again, Alvarez is showing he can just, most weeks, record relatively low XG and still come away with something. And that's really useful for FPL managers, isn't it?
Absolutely. In terms of Alvarez's performances, I think the injury list is long enough for City to play him every week. And he's really proven that even as a number 10 in that City lineup, I think he still manages to score goals. And I believe he would ideally be used as a Haaland replacement or sometimes rotating Haaland, but due to injuries, he's been playing as a number 10. And looking at that young potential great athlete, you could see that he could deliver from anywhere. It doesn't matter. He's taking set pieces, he's taking direct free kicks, he's taking even long distance shots. I mean, he's got everything in his locker, and he's young enough to be playing two or three games in a short period of time. And I think Pep likes to give some of their players rest down the, in the middle of the season. But at the moment, I don't see him resting for a while because of long-term injuries to Kevin De Bruyne. I'm not sure when Bernardo Silva is coming back, but they're really thin on a squad depth. So,
yeah, it's a useful time for City to be kind of short of players. Obviously don't wish injuries on anybody, but it does make life easy for us. And I suppose the one thing with Alvarez is that in theory, we might see him get start games and then come off if City can kind of run away with it a little bit. We haven't seen that in the Premier League too much yet, which is probably the best way around, because Alvarez has actually completed 90 minutes in 5 of the 7 game weeks so far. And then in terms of the 2 that he didn't, 89 minutes played against Fulham, goal and 2 assists there, 14 points. That was his actually biggest haul of the season. He did, of course, play 56 minutes against Forest, but I think we all know that's a bit of an anomaly, because Rodri doesn't normally lose his head at all, let alone in that kind of fashion. So the chances of that sort of happening again, of course, are quite slim. So we're fairly confident he's going to keep getting the minutes where it matters for us, which is definitely very important. Let's move on to the underachievers then, which is actually, if I'm being honest, one of my favourite things to look at, because this is one of these tables that usually helps us understand whether or not we should sell someone, because we quite often, just on all the shows, get questions like, this guy's not been delivering, do I hold him? And the answer to the question usually lies in maybe an XG underachievers table, or perhaps some individual tables on things like shots, shots in the box, big chances, shots on target. You know, we need to find out, to what extent are these guys having a go? And if they're having lots of opportunities and they're not quite delivering, then maybe they are due a goal. And interesting to see we've got Isak, Richarlison, Diaz and Estupiñán. All on the list of underachievers for game week 7, as it was before the Brentford Forest game. So I'll throw to you, Ali, to sort of talk through some of those guys. I'm just going to double check what it looks like after the Forest game, because of course it might help us talk about Mbeumo. So anyone stick out here for you?
It's with Isak. He's always. Newcastle attack has been really good, even recently, even last year. If he starts, it's just a matter of minutes, because once Wilson is fit, you never know who's going to be starting because of the Champions League rotation and the wingers at Newcastle at the moment, with Anthony Gordon and Almiron, and maybe Barnes is injured, but you never know what the starting lineup looking like. And I think it was a good XG of 1.83 for Isak. He's a good option as long as Wilson is injured, but I wouldn't be looking at him long term if I have a good alternative. With Richarlison, again, he started because of the injury for Johnson, and he's done well. I've seen the highlights of the game, and he was really active. The managers were really unfortunate with him in the beginning of the season, but I think once he start clicking, I think it was Son up top. Richarlison is has done well against Liverpool, and you could see that on the chart as well. He should have scored. He could have scored. I think points will be coming for Richarlison as well. As I mentioned before, Garner from Everton. It's good numbers, but I wouldn't be backing Everton attack. I would only pick Dominic Calvert-Lewin because he's a striker, and the rest of them is just it's hard to rely on them because they don't score many goals. For Liverpool's Luis Diaz, I'm really positive about him because there are a lot of managers that don't have funds for Salah. So if you have a midfield spot for a Liverpool player, I think Diaz is a really good option. And he's done well this season, and I don't see him, if he's fit, I think he's in a starting lineup for Liverpool. And Jota is suspended for next game. I think he will be starting on the left flank, and he could deliver big against Brighton. For Anderson, I've seen the highlights. He's had a couple of good moments, but that's probably because of the opposition, and I don't see him, performing those numbers against big teams. Estupiñán, It's just opinion. We know what to expect from him. He could end up hauling against a big team in any game. So it doesn't matter for him. He's always attacking. He's always bringing, clutching good numbers in terms of XG. So it was an unfortunate occasion for Brighton fans and Brighton asset owners as well. Emil Smith Rowe had a big chance denied by the goalkeeper and should have scored that. You could see him after the game really disappointed that he should have taken that chance because he doesn't really get into Arsenal's starting lineup. And it was really disappointing. He's on this list for a reason, but I don't see him starting over other Arsenal starting 11 players. So, and Diaby, maybe you would expect a lot more points from him in a 6-goal game, but I think he's ended up with 2 assists. And it's not too bad. It's Aston Villa fixture is looking great for the upcoming 5 or 6, I believe. So he's a good option to have in your team, and I think a lot of wildcarders will have him.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm increasingly feeling very smug that I've had him since game week one because he's earning me money and points, which is nice. While you were going through that, I have managed to get a little bit of stuff on Mbeumo. And interestingly enough, when you do sort of refresh this table, Mbeumo actually replaces Diaby on this list because Mbeumo today, but it's so close. Mbeumo today, he was obviously got nothing, but his XGI was 0.43. And so therefore he underperformed by 0.43, which would knock Diaby off by 0.01. But it's worth mentioning him again because it just means that he is still trying. And when the game week, well, actually, maybe the game week, we still got games to play. We've got Chelsea and Fulham, still got Luton and Burnley to face each other midweek. So maybe Mbeumo gets knocked off. But the point is he's at least in the conversation about underperformance. I'd rather my player was underperforming than simply just getting XGI of 0 every game. So it might potentially convince me to hold him. And just to give you guys a sort of an idea of what's fueling those numbers, he obviously didn't have a penalty today. So that's all come from open play, which is useful because we do need him to do well in open play as well as with the penalties. But he created 4 chances today. So there was a lot of assist potential from him, which is more than any other player in that match. And of course, no assists, but he was trying. In terms of the goal threat, he had 2 shots. Both of them were in the box. None of them were big and none of them were on target. How that compares with those around him. Mope had 3 shots all in the box. Norgaard had 4 shots, 3 of them in the box. So a little bit of a dip there on goal threat. I'm going to do a video in the week that sort of breaks down the first 4 game weeks of the season and the last 3 game weeks of the season on Mbeumo to really sort of get an idea for what's gone on here, what's shifted with him going from being like prime Messi to just literal Messi with a Y instead of an I in front of goal. And yeah, we need to know the answer there. But the general gist is that today, I think the data show and we were unlucky in inverted commas because he underperformed. He tried. We can't fault him that.
So, yeah. Yes.
Just on those little numbers there, I mean, on Mbeumo, we talked about him earlier on, but with knowing that now, does that help change your view or fuel your view a bit? Or
I think if you have him in your team, you can certainly have an argument to keep him because the fixtures aren't too bad and he's one player that you, if you bet on Brentford scoring, he'll most likely be amongst the final third, maybe assisting or scoring a goal himself, and he's still on penalties. He's still on penalties, let's not forget that. But for me, I decided to go against him in the beginning of the season, and I'm not sure if I'll be, you know, I hate to arrive late at the party, so even if he starts delivering, I don't see myself going for him because there's still a lot of other options to consider. But in your case, I wouldn't rule him out, and it's still a good FPL option.
Yeah, I think I think on balance, I'm probably going to hold him. But yeah, we'll see how I feel later in the week. And as I said, if you want more information on that, do stay tuned to our content for the rest of the week for that. That's all about time. That's all about time we've got tonight. So thank you very much, everybody, for joining us. As ever, make sure you hit that like button and subscribe to the channel and hit that bell notification as well so you don't miss any content. Of course, tomorrow we're sort of back to it. The fact that we've got a couple of extra games does not halt the schedule in any way. Everybody's already thinking about Game Week 8. So, of course, we've got Scoutcast, Burning Questions. We've got Goals Imminent, all the usual good stuff. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But yeah, that's everything from me. Unless there's anything you want to add, Ali, before we finish?
Keep the faith. Be patient with your team. Good luck with your choices, because FPL is always hectic. FPL is not stable. So if you're thinking of quitting, don't, because it's a fun game to play, and everything starts just now. Mm. So keep positive and believe in yourself and your judgment. So go for it.
Amazing stuff. Well, with that, we shall leave you fine, folks, to enjoy the rest of your tinkering ahead of Game Week 8, and we'll see you next time. Bye.